This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Salut tous mes belles gays et mes beaux lézos. C'est Matthew Mitchum et vous écoutez à Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And I'm remotely Phil.
You're remotely Phil. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Oh, I've had better days.
We've had a few people ring up and inquire, where the heck are you, Phil? So it's nice to hear you on the phone, at least. Nina will be pleased.
You can report that I'm calling in from Rio. I've just finished the 100 metre sprint. I was beaten by Usain Bolt.
I think we all would have been beaten by Usain Bolt.
He's like a
bolt. I would still be walking that 100 metres, I tell you.
No, you'd be right, Phil. I'm sure you would be. But it was a brilliant race, and the way he came through there it was just absolutely
amazing. And he's coming to Australia.
Oh, good.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Is this fresh off the press, is it?
Yeah, just been interviewed on Channel 7. He comes here quite a lot, actually.
Yes, he does.
And he's a very nice man, unlike so many of them.
Oh, well, when you've won 3 gold medals in one event, I guess you can be very nice to everybody, can't you?
Yeah, well, he's 30 now and he's talking retirement.
Well,
what a young age to be retired at. Been There, Done That is Joy's history program. And as well as talking about gay icons and dicons, we also talk about events that have happened in the world on this day,
or
years previously, that still affect our lives. And sadly, there is a couple of things in respect of Microsoft activities that occurred a few years ago that still affect our lives, sadly. I'm talking about the fact that Microsoft Internet Explorer was launched in 1995 on August the 16th. Shadows of that are still running around. People have still got that as a browser. What do you reckon about that, Phil?
Oh, I reckon it got Microsoft in a lot of trouble, actually.
Why was this?
Because they were giving it away with Windows, and that's the only way you could get it. Mm-hmm. And the courts in America who don't like monopolies said, you really can't do that.
Well, how did they get over it?
Well, they kept giving it away.
look a gift horse in the mouth, but this is one case where you actually should have looked at what they were giving away.
Yeah, well, eventually they had to pay up in court, and it was made separately available by download.
So you don't get anything for free, in other words, anymore.
Well,
you still got it for free. The browsers have always been free, but what the courts didn't like is that the only way you could get it was if you were a Windows user.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
And well, only with the latest version of Windows.
Was there anything else except Windows as an operating system at that stage?
Well, if you look back before the Windows were ever around, we had the good old Macintosh.
But that was the other mob.
Yeah, but we had Internet Explorer for the Mac.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
What people don't remember is that Microsoft were writing software for Apple before they even came out with DOS.
Yes, that's right, yes, yeah.
So that's why even today you can get your Microsoft Word and your Excel still available on the Mac.
Yeah, because I use them on my Mac, yeah.
And another anniversary on the 24th of August 1995, the same year as Internet Explorer came out, Windows 95 was released.
Where did they get those names from?
Oh, I know.
In 1995, they released Windows 95?
Yeah, but there would have been a big meeting for that one.
Oh, I'm sure there was, probably in the telephone box.
Unfortunately, it's moved on since then, although there's been a few glitches in the wings with...
Oh, you're so polite. They've had some stinkers.
It's amazing how things have progressed since the introduction of computers, anyhow, the way we're doing things these days with them.
Yeah, well, Internet Explorer didn't even reach its 21st birthday. before it was totally replaced and wiped out because it crashed out, taken off the books in 2015. So
right.
There you were for that. Now we've got Chrome and Safari and Firefox and all those sort of browsers. And some versions can be quite complicated. Others are a light version and they fly along. And I think that's the problem with a lot of software. It gets overloaded with all the bells and whistles that the normal user doesn't really require.
Yeah, the trick is to remain with the basics. Don't try to be anything more than you need to be.
Got
and that's true for software as well.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. Phil, just stay with us for a couple of moments because we're going to talk about the football match that Gordon and myself went to on Saturday night at the Etihad Docklands Stadium. It was the Pride
Month. I saw it from the other end.
Oh, right. Now, did you see very much of rainbowness to the whole match?
I personally was a bit disappointed because it wasn't as much as I thought there could be, but the Channel 7 commentators had their rainbow scarves and they made a passing comment about the Pride match.
That would have been right from...
Well, yeah. I'm here to tell you that well before the crossover to the broadcast at the time, 7:25 or whatever it was, the stadium was given a whole lot of promos, of vox pops, of people saying, wow, it's about time, isn't it great that we've finally got some acknowledgement from the footy community that this is another part of the adoring public and we're here, we're everywhere.
I was working on the stall, Philip, where we were giving away Joy little pouches that you stick on the back of your mobile phone, hold your Mica card. We had lots of people coming up and saying how wonderful it was and lots of rainbow scarves and rainbow things and everything all floating around the place. You probably didn't see it on television, but there was a hell of a lot of rainbow in the crowd, I can assure you. And it was
that's good to hear.
It was really, really, and the people's comments about what was going on, we were talking to them as they were coming in, and they were just it was so up there, and they all thought Joy was wonderful, and they were going to vote for equal marriage. So the whole thing was getting a run, I can assure you. It was really terrific.
Yeah, I think especially Joy's exposure to an event like that is probably better than, say, at the Pride March or the regular gay things. Not that we shouldn't go there.
No.
But we need to expose ourselves to the straight public on their terms.
I'm not going to expose myself to the straight public. Thank you very much, Philip.
Well, that's right. We're trying to progress our forces here.
No, it was the straight people that we were speaking to were all for it and they thought it was wonderful, listening to people's tales about listening to Joy and all the rest of it. So it was really, really, really wonderful.
And in the actual interview on Joy, because I was actually in the broadcast area for a little while, Nicky Winmar's son was there talking about his confidence.
And that was brilliant timing on that announcement. It was brilliant timing for him. Not to come out,
yes.
But to publicly come out.
Yeah, well, I was at the football when Nicky Winmar lifted his shirt to show that he was had a black skin. I was there at Collingwood that day, and I was a bit away from it, but I thought, what the devil are you doing, Nicky? And then when I read about it the next day, I thought, well, good on you. He was a wonderful footballer.
Yeah.
Phil, we're going to wish you good health and come back next Tuesday because we need you back here in the studio. We need to be able to give you hand signals about wind-ups and things like that.
And I need to be there for my very sanity.
You mean with us too? Do you want to be sane?
Believe it or not, it's better to have you two around than not have you two around.
Oh, isn't that? You are so kind, Phil.
Well,
thank you.
We're going to play a bit of Madonna because it's her birthday on the 16th of August as well. She's been a wonderful gay icon. She's given us confidence. She's showed the world that you can be different but still the same.
That's right.
And I'll give you a bit of gossip if you like.
Oh, please do.
There's a documentary coming out soon on her early days before we knew her as Madonna, and there's a lot of letters and recordings and video taken by an ex-lover.
Oh, right. So that would be very, very interesting, I would imagine, because she was, Schiccioni is a real name, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Schiccioni.
She was a drummer in a band.
And then all of a sudden she started to take off with some of the songs that she was singing, and it was
and
quite
Molly
amazing.
Meldrum was a big part of that.
And I saw Molly Meldrum at the football, actually. I really did.
Well, there's a shock at a St Kilda game.
Yes, yeah. All right.
Here she is.
Here she is right now.
She's telling us to jump, but don't you do that, Phil.
Did you watch the long jump, Phil?
Oh, I hate those men.
You're on Joy. Gordon, Phil and Chris, been there, done that.
Got much time to waste. It's time to make my way. Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
You're with Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Sorry, Phil, you're not with us, but no. We'll hope to have you back very, very soon. I did my census form.
When?
I did it last night.
Oh, you would like.
No, no, no.
I know you've got time.
Because the situation hasn't changed from the 9th of August when it was supposed to be done.
No, you're blessed.
I was still the same one person in the same one house and the same number of bedrooms.
Yeah.
And all the other things was still the same. But the number of bedrooms, I wonder what that means.
I don't know.
I mean, one is my storeroom and the other one is the office and, it's really only one bedroom in work.
Well, the cleanest room in my house is my bedroom. It doesn't have any junk in it at all. It's always nice and clean.
Oh, cleanest.
Like that. But then my second bedroom is my art studio where I have all my artwork and paints and God knows what's that up. And then my third bedroom is my study with the computer in. And my computer wouldn't allow me to get into the ABS website.
Okay.
Because it wasn't strong enough. I had to have a Mac that was higher category.
Oh.
It's a bit old. It's about 8 years old or something, rather. So that the...
So you weren't running Leopard, you were running...
I was running something else, yes. So anyhow, but I have a laptop, which is a very modern one. So I checked on the qualifications on that, and it was way over what they needed. But then I couldn't get a Wi-Fi set up going, because this is all going on Monday after I left here last week, I can tell you. Anyhow, I finished up. I thought, okay, well, I'm going to the shop and I'm going to find an adapter to get onto my modem, onto my laptop, and that worked. So I had it all filled out nicely on Tuesday at about midday, and I thought, oh, well, I won't submit it now. I'll do it a bit later just to make sure I'm home in the evening when you're supposed to do it. Mm. I went to do it, and, of course, nothing happened. It was all locked down, so I had to wait until Friday to put mine in. But anyhow, I thought the questions were quite stupid, actually. I couldn't make any sense of what they were looking for when you answered the questions.
Well, precisely. And the way it jumped forward meant that you were skipping a lot of the questions that other family groups or professionals would have had to fill out.
Well, that's right, because the questions that I answered as a single person, I couldn't answer how many children were in the house and how many, all that sort of thing. But the questions for single people were, I can't see where it would make any sense, actually.
But
they will.
Well, they will, but I'm wondering what else, because I didn't see all the other questions, I wondered what a married group would have had included there. And I'm just wondering how representative, actually, a picture the government gets of the Australian population at the moment.
Well, they wouldn't get... They did ask if you were of Aboriginal descent or something. They did ask that one.
Yeah.
I did see that.
And they did ask, where was your parents born and where were you born?
That's right, yes. And I had to say my parents were both born in England and I was born here in Australia, of course.
Yeah.
It was interesting, but that then leads to some of the other things that are... Because of the diversity of the Australian population, they would then have to have all the questions, what ethnic origin are you and all this sort of thing with it, whether you were Asian, whether you were from other parts of the world, European or whatever. And that, I guess from that they could work it all out. But when you look at the population of Australia, when you just walk down the street, the countries that the people have come from, I don't think they're represented enough on the visual media.
Oh, definitely not, Gordon.
You know what I mean?
No. I do know exactly what you mean. You take the adverts for fast foods, or you take the adverts for clothing shops or things like this, or aspirational items.
That's right.
For travel.
Yeah.
You don't see anything except white Euro faces.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But the Australian population is now so diverse with Asian population. We've got Vietnamese, Chinese, we've got Indians, we've got all these people that have come from Asia, and the island groups, of course, from the South Pacific island groups, but very few of them are represented on the television, and I often think it's about time that they did. You know, I have a vague feeling that I was watching the Olympics yesterday, I think it was, and I saw an advert come on. I take no notice of advertising because I'm the advertiser's worst nightmare. I don't do anything. They do nothing for me. And there was a lady with a darker skin was talking, and then she closed a sort of shutter in front of her face at the finish of the advert. I don't know what the advert was for, because, as I said, I take no notice of adverts. But I happened to look up and saw this of another ethnicity in the ad, and I thought, well, that's a start. But you see a few little children in some of the little in children's adverts. You will see a group of diverse ethnicities. I'll get it right.
Well, SBS and ABC on their television newsers have various ethnic
readers,
which is good, which is brilliant. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
But as for the commercials, you can't do that.
You have to be blonde,
and you get sacked if you're at 1 minute over the 29 and 9 months,
something like that.
Incredible.
But I would just like to see, and one of the shows that I really loved on television, there's two shows I've really loved. One was Redfern Now, and the other was the one about the boy that had the superpowers, that's just been on.
Who you mean. Yeah.
The old brain's gone a bit tired there. But they were great because they had all these wonderful...
Hollow Man.
Something or Other Man, yes. Special Man or something. Anyhow, the people will know who I'm talking about. But there are so many brilliant Indigenous actors. Mm. They really are wonderful, and they're so believable in what they do. And they were two of my favourite shows. I really loved watching them. Yeah, you know.
Well, talking about the footy again, it's interesting how the Greek and Italians have moved into the Aussie rules football and the Yugoslavs, and they're some of our best.
Well, it's the names that
and
you...
And even the Aboriginals, I shouldn't say even, but we take them for granted.
Well, the Indigenous players are always superb. They just...
Exactly.
Well, you talked about Nicky Winmar, just watching him play was like watching a Will-o'-the-Wisp. He just was everywhere. And it's the same with the one that the Rioli that plays for Hawthorn at the moment. Mm. He's just superb to watch him play. He seems to sense when somebody's around, and he just dodges them. You know, they're just absolutely beautiful players to watch. They always have been.
So there you are, out in the adverts. We want to see more of an ethnic representation.
And in the dramas that Australia produces as well, we should see more ethnic representation, because we are a very diverse community with ethnicities now, and they should all be getting a bit of a mention.
Well, remember on the 14th of August, when was this? Back in 1963, the people of the Yirrkala Mission, they actually presented a petition written on bark, claiming, you know, land rights by the traditional owners. And that actually led from 63 to the 1967 referendum and recognitions of that. And here we are. We're trying to get...
We're still talking about having a constitution.
40 years later. Getting them recognised in the constitution.
I'm a bit like Uncle Jack Charles, who I was watching being interviewed. I don't know his surname, so we just have to call him Uncle Jack, and people would know who you're talking about. And he was saying that he felt that there should be a treaty before we become a part of the constitution, and a treaty would be then put us in line with the New Zealanders, the Maori. They have a treaty. The Canadian Inuits and the natives of Canada have a treaty. And there are treaties around the world with the different Indigenous people, which is the thing that we need. And I still think they should have a treaty, as well as eventually being recognised in the Constitution. But I see that the West Australian people are now saying that they want something done extra in the Constitution, because otherwise it will make the Aboriginal better off than the whites and all this sort of business. And I thought of myself, coming from WA, I know what they're like over there, you know.
Well,
and to me, it's they haven't changed.
We're fighting for our recognition rights, and we don't see any reason why everybody in Australia shouldn't be recognised for what they are, who they are.
Yes, it doesn't matter whether they're what colour their skin or whether they come from. It's just we are people with feelings, and this is the thing. Yeah.
Zoe Badwe wants to say, release me. Well, let's release all those others that are suffering at the moment as well.
Good one.
You're on Joy.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
You're with Chris and Gordon, been there, done that, Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
Yes.
And thanks for your feedback. You can always send us a little email to beenthere@joy.org.au. We'd love to communicate with you.
Yes. It's nice to know that you're listening. That's the one thing about it. When you sit in radio, you never know who's listening to you. And it's interesting when people sort of say, oh, we listen to you every day or something or whatever, you know. It's interesting. Especially on community radio.
The show just before us was Triple Bypass. And that's for the bi generations of our extended community. And a couple of, well, there's one person who was part of our trans community, the extended thing that we'd like to celebrate their birthday. Where was that? Where was that? I say to myself.
That was that
on the 19th of August, 1934, was born Renee Richards. Well, not wasn't born
she,
Renee
no,
Richards.
No, she wasn't born Renee. No, she was born
Richard Raskind.
Yep.
And it was about 40 years into his life that he actually realized that inside him was a woman wanting to come out, and he went through all the traumas and dramas of transitioning.
Yes, he transitioned completely as well, which was another thing.
And it was incredible that he was about 40 years old, but a successful professional ophthalmologist.
That's right. Yes.
Get that out of your mouth with the teeth in.
Yeah.
And had a successful married life and things like this, and he decided that all that was to be left behind, and he transitioned.
Yeah, but he was also a champion tennis player as a young man, and he went to one of the big colleges in America, and he was there the champion of their tennis team or something or other, and he loved playing tennis. But when he transitioned, he decided he'd call himself Renee.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize that Renee in French means to renew.
Oh, yes, it
rebirth,
does.
Rebirth. Yes. Nay is birth in French, and Renee is rebirth.
Well,
he didn't realize what he'd done until somebody pointed it out to him.
Let me just explain that to the listener. You talk about people being married, and then in their funeral notice or whatever, they put their unmarried name, and they always put the word N-double-E in front.
That's right.
Yep, and that's what and exactly, Renee. It's a French word.
A birth, yes.
How isn't that very clever?
She didn't realize it.
No.
She just decided that she liked the name Renee. And it wasn't until it was pointed out to her that that really meant rebirth. That was really quite appropriate for somebody that was transitioning.
Well, I can imagine that women transitioning to men would, as it were, carry with them still that hint of the inferiority that women can often get by being put down by men or not being a male sports person. But the reverse applied with her, because when she transitioned to Renee, she still carried with her the fact that once upon a time she was male, so therefore she must still have all the male characteristics. She wouldn't have had a good time representing herself as a woman in women's tennis.
Well, she didn't. There was quite a few people wouldn't play with us. A lot of the women wouldn't play for her in the different competitions that she played in. She played in lots of competitions until it was, I've forgotten her name. And she said, look, she is a woman as far as I'm concerned, and I will play her. And that was Billie Jean King.
Oh, yeah.
Billie Jean King, who was a gay woman anyhow. And she said, that's fine with me. She's, as far as I'm concerned, she's a lady, a woman. I will play her. Mm. And after Billie Jean King said she would play her, then they started to let her play and things, but they felt that she was too strong. She would have the men's power, but with transitioning to a woman, the muscle tone would have probably dropped out of her muscles. You know, she wouldn't have had that masculine muscle strength. And with taking the drugs that they take when they're doing the transitioning, it would probably taken the strength out of her muscles. So I don't think she would be. She probably wouldn't be as powerful as Venus Williams, for instance. Venus Williams belts down the ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she can belt down the ball faster than what Renee Richards ever did.
And I think that's interesting that when you've got, as you say, the Williams sisters proving that women can be as strong as men, then the argument gets out of, you can't play as a transitioned person.
This is right, and good on Renee Richard for leading the way into sport. And she actually played she played another man in an exhibition game and beat him. he thought he could play tennis better than anybody, but she beat him. Yes, as a woman, good on her.
And well, still going strong, and at 34, she's
83.
83, yeah.
82.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting that she's leading such a long life, even though the body's been through the trauma of
change.
Reassignment, just the hormonal change.
That's right.
I don't know what operations she might have had, but there you are.
Yeah, yeah. So good luck to her. She's 82
indeed.
In 1934. Yeah,
so there 82. You are. Yep. Indeed. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to our next piece of music, Gordon. Mm-hmm. What should we talk about in this?
Well, you want to talk about the wonderful Australian author or leave him for later?
No, I think we'll leave him for the next break,
all
please.
Right, then. All right. Well, we can go
Star Wars is coming back.
Star Wars is coming back.
Well, it never went away, did it?
It never really went away. No, it's been... Star Wars.
Star Wars. And Star Trek was the start of all this process.
That's right. And Gene Roddenberry would be having a birthday this week.
19th of August, 1921.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a wild imagination to think of all these concepts.
Yeah, but what he thought about, if we had Phil on the air now talking about Star Trek, he would sort of say that what Gene Roddenberry put into the thing is actually what's happening now.
Yeah, mobile phones, tablets,
these
sorts of things.
He had everything on that Star Trek thing.
Well, perhaps it just shows that some of these things are inevitable.
Well, look at Leonardo da Vinci, the way he thought of things that have come to pass. You know, this is the point. You know, they're there, but you just got to get somebody to think about and bring them out. But it was very interesting to see that the Kenny Baker that was played R2-D2 in Star Wars, he passed away a couple of days ago.
Well, just getting back to Star Trek, on this 12th of August 1977, the first solo flight of the space shuttle occurred, which was named Enterprise. And of course it was a deliberate throwback to the Star Trek Starship Enterprise. And on the 19th of August 1960, that's another famous date because Sputnik 5 was the first satellite carrying animals into and back from orbit.
Yes.
They didn't go anywhere, just
up
quick
and down.
Whip around the block.
Well, I was...
And so here we are, 60 years. So much has grown from such small steps to begin with.
Yes, this is the way it works, of course, yeah. But it's been a very interesting series, Star Trek and Star Wars. They're both very, very cleverly done. But these days they have so much more computer generation of imaging, you know, that it's they're much more... vibrant, I suppose you would say, than what the originals lot were. But what they did in the originals things was absolutely so clever.
You're on Joy.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're with Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9.
Yes, it is. So.
Oh, golly gosh, we're running down
the hour very quickly now. Now
coming up afterwards, of course, is going to be encore programs, and we're going to have Stevie and Get Loud, and then there'll be a whole evening of repeat encore programs for your edification and delight.
That's exactly right, too. And edification is what we really need sometimes, don't we?
Well, sometimes we need people with better brains than ourselves to be able to say what the bleeding obvious is.
And one of those people is having a birthday this week.
Oh, golly gosh, I wonder who that could be.
On the 16th of August is Dennis Altman. Now, Dennis Altman is the Emeritus Professor at Monash University. He's a fellow in the Human Security College of Arts, and he's a very brilliant man, and he's written so many books. He's written about 13 books, but he's mostly known for his 1972 book called Homosexual Oppression and Liberation.
Indeed. He was born in 1943, so he's almost pre-baby boomers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
a war baby.
Yeah, he's certainly well and truly part of our community and for the community and with the community.
Yes, he's lived his life basically for the community. But the book, that book I read back in 1972, and it was a very interesting book about the way the homosexual community sort of worked at that stage. And, of course, he's been mixed up with so many gay organisations here in Australia. He was on the board of Oxfam to start with. He was the governor of the Council of the International AIDS Society. He's president of the AIDS Society of Asia and the Pacific and a co-chair of the International AIDS Congress in Asia and the Pacific. So not only is he a professor and an author, but he's also put himself into the forefront with the AIDS organisations and other organisations which need people like him to guide them.
And as a voice, he is a voice of reason and knowledge, and this is why he's got respect in the US and around other corners of the world, and he is not just an unknown person, he is a famous Australian.
That's right, but he also updated the book Homosexual and Liberation from 1972 to 2014, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And I had him in the studio to interview him.
Yes.
Wonderful man, really interesting to interview. And we had a very nice chat, and he said he thanked me very much for a terrific interview because I didn't tell him what I was going to ask him.
Oh, good.
And he likes to be put on a spot where he's got to be made to think of what his answer's going to be, you know.
Well, what and, would be a question that you would ask him now?
Oh, I don't know. How far are we along the track of equality?
That was going to be my form of my question is sort of what do we do to get ourselves over this set of brick walls that the politicians are too freaking out about?
Don't get me on the politicians and the equal marriage thing. Because did I mention it before that at the football on Saturday, I had straight people coming up to me and sort of saying, we're going to vote for equal marriage for you people because you are part of the community. And they were all straight people. They weren't gay people that were saying it. It was straight people that said it. And all you could do was say, well, thank you very much for that. You know, it's because it's people like you we need to make it happen and to support us. Yeah. But unfortunately, we get the ding-a-lings that sit up there in Canberra that don't know what it's like to be gay and what we have to put up with, which makes it very, very difficult to continue.
Well, of course, the politicians are buggering up everything that they do at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
They can't score goals. They can't even score points.
No, not really. But when you get onto equal marriage, you've got these right-wing people that just don't realise that it's the young people that they're maligning and making feel different. You know, it's not us older people. We have lived through all this and we've put up with all the bits and pieces that we've had. I've been abused. I've been attacked. I've had those things happen to me. But I've never, ever contemplated ending my life because of it, I was gay. But there are a lot of people a lot of young people that are really questioning and they don't know what's going on, you know.
Well,
and it's things like the Pride football game that we had on Saturday that sort of makes young people feel that it's okay to be gay.
Yeah.
You know.
That they are part of the community. They're not excluded in any way.
No, you know.
And I think that's what mainly kept my head sane as well, the fact that, oh, I can do other things and I can be part of the community, all right. The 10% of me or the 20% or 50% of me that's gay doesn't necessarily have to be out there. I don't need to say that at a grand dinner that I'm in fact a football fan of Richmond or anything like that. That's for that part of when I'm out with my mates at the footy.
I've always been very honest. If anybody sort of said to me, are you gay? I've always said yes.
Yeah.
Have you got a problem with it? You know? And everybody said no, because by the time they'd asked me, they knew who I was. And being a mature person, you know, even when I was in my 30s and 40s, I was still telling people, because coming out is an ongoing thing. It never ceases. You are coming out for the whole of your life. It's not like if you're born heterosexual, you don't have to worry about it, you know. But if you're born as a gay person and you know you're gay from quite a young age, like I was, there's no sense in denying it. You just accept it and get on with life.
Yeah,
you know, and it's the way to go. I've had a wonderful life, quite frankly, and I've still got a lot more to go.
Oh yes, but that's why we need people like Dennis Altman
to keep reminding us about it.
AM.
Yes.
Australian medal.
That's right, Medal of Australia. Yeah, Member of Australia or whatever it is. Yes, I can never work out those what they are, but he has a thing for the work that he's done, and he's a very nice man, very, very nice man.
Yeah. He did his MA at the Cornell Institute US. Mm,
that's right, and that's where he was when he wrote the book about homosexuality.
So that would have had a real flavour of the American scene
as well.
Because that would have also put into focus the Australian scene and how far different, or how in what ways it was different.
And what ways were the
behind.
Same.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, the expanded edition, that's the latest edition of his book, that's the 40-year, that he's just finished this decade, is very interesting to read. It's a very good book. I did read it as well.
It's very interesting. He was the son of Jewish refugees. Mm. With a name like Altman, you would almost expect that. But he went to a Quaker school for 12 years and spent chunks of his youth in Hobart, although he was born in Sydney. But interesting, Quakers. Now, Quakers, their rule of life is quite a peaceful concept.
Yes, they don't approve of war at all whatsoever. They're completely peaceniks, if you want to call them peaceniks, because during the Second World War and in the First World War, there were a lot of Quakers that would not sign up to fight. Mm. They signed up to be
medics or whatever, but in the hospitals.
Stretcher bearers or something like that. They would go out on the field being shot at while they picked up injured people off the war grounds or whatever they were fighting, you know. But a lot of the Quakers that didn't were held in very high disregard.
Mm.
You know, they were sent white feathers in the First World War.
Strange,
as being cowards, but that was their religious belief and they stuck by it.
Yeah,
you know,
and quite compassionate. So I think a lot of that has, you know, as they say, the Jesuits say, give me a boy until seven and I'll give you the man.
Mm.
Well, I'm sure Dennis Altman was so affected by the life messages that the Quakers
would have been very well educated too, I would have thought. Mm. Well, he is a very well educated man, you know. But, yeah.
And, so, well, he currently lives in Melbourne with his partner.
That's right. His previous partner died just before the book was launched, as I remember. Yeah. Anyhow, Dennis Altman is one of the great Australian gay people.
Yeah.
Amongst, up there with Michael Kirby and a few others.
Yeah. Yes. The mornings are warming up and we don't have cold air. What is the benefit of cold air in the mornings, Gordon?
Well, I suppose it'll wake you up, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But I reckon it's beautiful ballooning weather.
Yeah, well, when we come in here for GPS on Sunday mornings, we always look out the windows for the balloons. If it's a still day, you see 5-6 balloons floating around. But hot air ballooning has been going on since the 1700s.
Of course,
when the Montgolfier brothers designed a hot air balloon.
That's right, and the first balloon didn't have a rubberized envelope, as they call it, for the hot air to sit inside.
No, it was just
two or three layers of taffeta and a layer of paper.
Glued on paper. The paper was to keep the hot air in, rather, because it would have gone out through the skin of the cloth. But they lined it. But had the flame got anywhere near it, it would have gone, and that would have been the end of the balloon, you know. But they didn't. They experimented a few times with it to float it. It was tethered to start with. And then they sent up some animals in a trial.
Oh, yes. Now, I love the first passengers that went up in the balloon. They're obviously sacrificial in a way. There was a duck, a sheep, and a rooster.
Yes.
Well, two out of three might have been able to save themselves. But
two out of three did, because there was one of them didn't survive.
No, you wouldn't have given anything for the sheep flying if he jumped out early.
There'd be a bit of barring going on, wouldn't there? Oh, yes.
But sadly, the rooster didn't survive the landing of the basket. And that's what they still do, the cane basket.
That's right.
Yes. So old-fashioned, but they still use it.
Yeah, mind you, there's been quite a few tragedies.
The most recent one in the US was when the basket actually touched some power lines
apparently, yeah.
And the cane basket started to burn.
Yeah, well,
people just dropped out the bottom of this burning basket.
Yeah, and it was just before that one, the worst one in the world was in Alice Springs.
Oh, yeah, 13 people died back on the 13th of August 1989.
That's right. That was the one. That was the world's greatest hot air balloon tragedy in Alice Springs, when it that burst into flames and collapsed, and everybody was killed.
Two tourist balloons were launched within minutes of each other.
And collided.
And they collided. Mm-hmm. One balloon tore into the fabric of the others, and then that one plunged to the ground from a height of 600 feet. Mm. You know,
that's a fair way up.
It is, 200 metres, killing the pilot and all the 12 tourist passengers.
Yeah.
Splat.
Yeah, and it was I can remember that on being on television. It was pretty horrific. And then they had another one after that.
26th of February in 2013, Luxor, Egypt.
That's right.
19 out of the 21 passengers died when that particular balloon crashed. That was the worst balloon disaster in history.
Yeah. And then in July this year, there were 16 people were killed in America, which is the worst American tragedy.
So,
and I've seen balloons come down in some awfully funny places.
Oh.
They're not awfully funny. They're funny places to come down in, but some of them, one of them landed in the Kingsway, I think it was.
All right.
Just off Albert Park there, and they came down, missed all the blocks of flats and everything, and landed quite safely in the middle. I think it was halfway on the roadway or something. I can remember seeing that on the television too. But everybody was safe in that. But, yeah, Sunday morning is the best time to see them. If it's a still, it's got to be a reasonably still morning for the Blues
and,
Cup.
And the cold air so that the hot air actually
will lift
has
them
got
up.
A lot of lift.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the clock. Time for us to say cherry poos.
Are we going?
And head off. Yes, we've got to go and get our pumpkins and have the mice take us home.
Oh,
I don't know about you. But
I think mine's Mr. Metro.
Oh, right. Okay, then. Catch up with you next week. Hopefully Phil will be with us as well.
Yeah. And what are we going out on?
Well, we'll go out with Lady Gaga. She'll talk about boys. Boys.
Oh, well, that's right. Well, Lady Gaga's been a great fan of she's been a great helper to the gay community worldwide for doing all sorts of bits and pieces. So it's nice that we're going to play Boys, Boys, Boys from Lady Gaga.
It is. Anyway, time for us to go. Cheerio. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye for now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.